Just who do we think we're kidding? It's always going to be more expensive to do business here, so why do we think the film industry is any different from all the others we've tried to attract with subsidies? Good morning and welcome to Talk of Alaska. I'm Steve Heimel. The legislature is debating whether it should change the film industry tax credit system. Some say just get rid of it. Should we? 1-800-478-8255, 478-TALK, and Anchorage a local call at 550-8422, email talkatalaskapublic.org. Do you think movies are really an Alaska industry? Tell us on Talk of Alaska statewide.
Today's program is underwritten in part by
the Pebble Partnership, developing a comprehensive mine plan that meets Alaska's regulatory requirements while supporting sustainable fisheries in Southwest Alaska. PebblePartnership.com. Home, it's where you lay your head, eat home-cooked meals, and gather with friends. Home is where you grew up and learned about life. Alaska is home, and when you choose to violate someone by committing sexual assault, you harm them, and you harm yourself, your friends, your family, your home, and Alaska. No one deserves to be sexually assaulted, so make the right choice. Real Alaskans choose respect. This message brought to you by the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters.
Well, in my business, I actually get to travel and go to major cities and so forth. But it's really for family reasons that I go to Santa Monica. And for business reasons, I go to Washington, D.C. And when I'm in Washington, you know, when you're a guest in a city, you tend to like go out to eat, and you go and I go to these bars and restaurants and whatnot, probably more than I should. And I get to overhear the gossip. And in Washington, it's really fascinating. It's all about power. But I mean, think about it, you know, like who's in power and who's not. It's absolutely just delicious what you can overhear. Then I go to Santa Monica. And it's about dreams. Everybody's got a screenplay. The people that are serving you in the restaurant, they want to be in the movies. It's like, it's another kind of fascinating gossip. It's absolutely amazing the things you overhear in Santa Monica, because the movie business is right up the street and right down the street. It's down in Culver City Studios, and it's up in Hollywood. Well, lately, you've been able to overhear some of that stuff, at least in Anchorage. And that's strange, and that's something I have to say I kind of like, because it's a different kind of culture. And so to me, I suppose this fascination with having the movie industry here has something to do with our own cultural mass as a state. And as for the merits of the tax credits or whatnot, I have absolutely—I don't know. I just plain don't know. I was hoping that we would have a really good knockdown, drag-out fight among our panelists, but it turns out they all sort of favor the program, but they might like a little tweak or so. I think I'll start with Bob Crockett of it's Pixic LLC, a movie industry service company, and you're the president of the Alaska Film Group. So there's already a trade association for this industry that we hardly have.
Well, the trade association, the Alaska Film Group, has been in existence since 1993. And
we've always had something.
We've always had this small nonprofit, all-volunteer organization.
And basically, I guess, I've got three panelists here, and they've all been here for quite a while, including you, right?
Yes. Yeah, I've been here in Alaska about 40 years and been in the industry about 30.
So, what's your day job?
Well, at least with Pixic LLC, it's a film production service company, and the idea behind it is that we provide services for film productions that come into the state. We market, provide location scouting, casting, catering, security, all the facets of what a film production needs that when they come to Alaska.
So what, you meet them at the airport and take care of everything as best you can? You talk to fixers before they get there, and the fixers say, okay, can you get me this, can you get me that, I need this by this day and that by that. And
that's absolutely right. That's exactly
what we do. And then
there's
a whole business of trying to tell them, no, actually, you cannot land on Mount McKinley right now.
Well, we can make it look like Mount McKinley in another place. So usually it's always yes.
Yeah. Oh, it's always yes. I'm loving that. Mm-hmm.
And then as far as the film group goes, we have about right around 100 members, both businesses and individuals that work in the film industry. And since its incentive program has taken place in 2008, we've grown about 35%. And we're accepting applications probably two a week or so, somewhere around in there. So there's a lot of interest in the film industry now.
Well, so you've got a day job. Your company has an existence. How many jobs? You can't really offer like too much in the way of full-time employment, though, can you?
Well, we have one shareholder that is working with us full time, and then we have another colleague, Deborah Schilt, who's a member of the Casting Society of America. That's also an employee of PIXIC. So that's part of the services that we provide is casting, and she runs that basically. But and then we crew up just like any other project. We crew up based on each project that rolls into town. I ran the location department for Everybody Loves Wales, Big Miracle, and I ran the location department for Frozen Ground. On Frozen Ground, in addition, we provided services, security and transportation and permitting and location scouting and casting. So
as far as you're concerned, we have a budding industry.
We do. I see it not only through PIXIC, but I see it through the Alaska Film Group.
And as a trade association, what do you think of the fact that the House apparently has problems with the bill?
Well, it's part of the process. I saw that in 2007 when the film group really was immersed in this to try and push this through the process then, that there was a real need for an education. People just needed to be aware of what makes it work and how to attract this industry up here. And I knew that the next time we went through this process that it would take a lot of education to really get people to understand, and that's the process we're in right now. I think we've done a pretty good job in terms of the industry trying to educate legislators and other people about what this means to the state and to the state's economy. So that's where we're at right now, and it's in subcommittee with the House Finance Subcommittee. They're working through the process to see, to answer some of the questions that they've had. They wanted more transparency. They wanted to see what kind of return on investment there was. Those are the kinds of questions that they're asking, and I think we've been able to answer that.
Our telephone number is 1-800-478-8255. Yeah, we're talking with Bob Crockett of the Alaska Film Group, and we have others here as well. 1-800-478-8255, a local call in Anchorage at 550-8422, email talk@alaskapublic.org. I think I'll zip on over to Screen Actors Guild and Ron Holmstrom. Welcome back to the show, Ron.
Thank you, Steve. Always a pleasure.
Well, you actually got a part in The Frozen Ground, right?
I do. I play John Cusack's attorney. He plays Robert Hansen, and I can tell everybody that you can rest easy because Hansen still is in prison. So maybe I can act, but apparently I'm a really, really poor attorney.
Well, your Screen Actors Guild has got to be sort of cheerleading for renewal of the tax credits.
We definitely are. We really want to see this happen. The Alaska branch, as you know, we just merged with AFTRA, which is a huge thing for the Guild. We've been working on this for over 25 years.
AFTRA will tend to represent a lot of people in my industry.
They do.
Yeah.
American Federation
of
Television and Radio
of
Artists.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's all good. Our membership in Alaska has tripled. I understand that the IATSE, that's our stagehands union, has tripled or more. And I saw something when I was being shuttled around to various sets and stuff on the picture, The Frozen Ground. A lot of Teamsters who are normally idle in the wintertime had jobs. So, yeah, SAG is very excited about Alaska, and we're growing. And if we can keep this industry, it just gets better and better.
Well, I'll ask you the same question as Bob Crockett. I mean, they all still have to have day jobs, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Every actor I know does, including you.
Well, my day job, I happen to be a bullfighter. But what did I say, bullfighter? Anyway, and what people don't, part of the education process that Bob was talking about is in the film industry, and as you know, I've been at this for, you know, like since the early 70s, actually. As soon as you finish a picture, you figure you're never going to work again as long as you live. So there are no real full-time jobs in the movie unless you happen to run a movie studio or a television network. Everybody is a hired hand for the particular project. Now, that's got a good side, too, is you work a television series, which I'm hoping we get one up here if this bill goes through, and you've got all that hiatus. What we used to do in Hollywood is we run off and try and find a movie to do while we're on hiatus. So no full-time jobs, but the pay is really good. And it's awfully long hours, but it's my favorite business on the planet, and it's fortunate because I don't know how to do anything else.
So, Bob Crockett, what would be the ideal situation? How would the studios? Let's say that they actually do have an avid interest in Alaska, and there is a renewal, and it's still is attractive to the industry. Would they talk to one another? Did they talk to one another and say, okay, well, I won't do my shoot while you're doing your shoot because, you know, you know, we'd use up the labor pool and all that sort of thing?
Well, I think that's a good question and a good point. I think, first of all, it's going to take some time to build a workforce. And we knew going into this that Alaska had minimal crew to be able to respond to a large movie production. That will change over time. We're already seeing people that have taken advantage and worked in several different projects are now elevating their skill sets. And the first call that comes or first project that comes in, they're going to get a phone call for whatever position that they're specializing in. You know, on Big Miracle, just to give you an idea, there were about 320 people that worked behind the camera. Out of that, there was approximately 155 full-time positions that were Alaskan, and there were about 30 day players in that program. In addition, there were 3,000 Alaskans across the state that were auditioned and 1,200 that appeared in front of the camera. There, in addition to that, out of 63 speaking roles, there were 45 Alaskan speaking roles in that movie.
Not just extras.
Huh. And these were people that Ron can speak to. I don't know what the daily SAG rate is these days, but I think it's somewhere around 870 a day.
825.
Wow. Well, let me ask you this, Ron. As I understand it, one of the amendments being considered by the subcommittee is limiting what can be spent on out-of-state labor.
Well, it's limiting the above-the-line expenditures. Now, the above-the-line expenditures on a motion picture are actors, directors, writers, and producers. This is always at least half of a movie's budget. So if it goes through with that kind of verbiage in it, then we may as well not even have a film incentive program. I understand there are some changes being made to it. I'm not privy to what those are. But I think, again, it's a matter of education. People don't understand that if we're going to deny that kind of credit to 50% of a movie's budget, well, I've been told by producer friends of mine that I used to work with in L.A. that we're going to Canada if we need an Alaska movie to shoot, if it works out that way.
We turn now to Jeff Silverman of Blueberry Productions. Welcome back to the show, Jeff.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Jeff, you also testified to the subcommittee, and I understand you were not quite as sanguine as these other two here, in the sense of you were saying, well, what about little guys like me?
Well, actually, that was a misquote.
Okay, and, tell me about it.
Well, thank you. The writer who wrote the article on the testimony on Monday kind of had me 180 degrees wrong. I was pointing out one small part of the bill at hand, but in general, I support the program, and I think that, you know, the blooming of the industry is good for all of us. It makes it harder for me to find crew sometimes if there's one or two big productions going on, it's hard to find for some of the smaller productions that I produce. And that's what Blueberry does. We are above the line. So I produce and direct and write films, and anywhere from a small film that you might see at the Alaska Native Heritage Center or downtown at the Planet Walk, the Sun Station. You push a button on that on that panel, you'll see something that Blueberry produced. But then ranging up into feature-length documentary films like For the Rights of All, which was a national broadcast from PBS.
I'm trying to think if I ever saw a commercial that you shot.
I don't do commercials.
That's what I was thinking.
Don't do political ads or weddings or anything like that. Just what we do.
Don't do weddings, bar mitzvahs.
No. Sorry to say. I did my kids' bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah, though. But the other thing that Blueberry is known for is we also produce broadcast, live multi-camera broadcasts, we call them. The AFN Convention, the Elders and Youth Conference, WEO. We did Iditarod last year. Not this year, last year, which was fun. I'd never been up to Nome during the finish, which was very exciting, and John Baker won that year. So everyone, it was really, really moving. Great experience. So anyway, what I was bringing to the committee was a language in what's called Section 14 of the bill, and mainly I call it in shorthand a nonfiction penalty. And this is a reduction of the base amount of the tax credit that they award to all films that qualify, which is 30. And from there, you get the bonuses for Alaska Hire or shooting off-season and shooting in rural Alaska. You get bonuses added to that. But they're saying that the baseline will be reduced from 30 to 20%, a 10% penalty for all quote-unquote nonfiction films. And my understanding is they were trying to really reduce it for reality television in particular. But what they didn't realize was that they all nonfiction includes documentaries. And, you know, that's what I do, and I'm not the only one. And there's quite a few films out there that
I'm not even sure the reality TV could qualify as nonfiction either.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I mean, because so much of it was put together afterwards, you know, and then they had the narrator and the music.
Just an umbrella.
Right. and explaining that, I was talking about films that range from $300 to $1 million or more. It's small compared to Alaska or to the big budget Hollywood productions, but it's still big for Alaska productions. You hire crew. We cast these films. My documentary had a lot of reenactment, live action reenactment done just like any of the narrative fiction films that are done. And I think that was misinterpreted by the writer who thought perhaps I was complaining that there was a limit, which I think is fine.
Well, it is. I see what you mean. It's kind of a fine point, and it's easy for a journalist to get
I can chime in, I think the language that was put in the original bill was all-inclusive, and unfortunately it didn't single out documentaries as being qualified, although documentaries are definitely qualified. I worked on a project, about $1 million project for a reenactment or the historic side of the Serum Run to Nome from, 1925, Serum Run to Nome from Nanette to Nome. And that qualified under the incentive program, the full 30%. And it wasn't the intention of the whole thing.
Yeah, well, this is the reason you have these hearings.
That's
and so forth. let me ask you this before we turn to our calls here, Bob Crockett of the Alaska Film Group. Do you think this transparency, I'm just wondering where you're coming down on that, because I can see the need for confidentiality at times.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, once the production's done, it seems that people have a right to know where their money went. And then there's also the business of disclosure of who's buying the tax credits.
Right. First of all, certainly we support transparency. There's no reason why people shouldn't know where tax credit money is spent. You know, how many people were hired, both inside and outside the state of Alaska. So we support certainly all levels of transparency. As far as the tax credit goes, you know, once the tax credit is issued, there's the state requires Department of Revenue requires a Form 707 to be filled out by the recipient and the seller to find out. I mean, they track where that transferable tax credit goes right to the very end. Once it gets once it's sold or between the party of who's selling it and who's buying it, that's a private transaction. So it's no longer under government scrutiny, as far as I know. But to us, it doesn't really matter. I don't. I think we would support that as well.
Well, I noticed an op-ed in the newspaper today, and the writer of the op-ed was also trying to get in touch with the show. So I'm going to put him on right now by phone from Homer, Mark Brinster. And I understand, Mark, you're a motion picture producer as well.
Well, I wouldn't call myself a motion picture producer. I've certainly worked on plenty of movies, and I've worked on shows with Bob and Deborah and the established Alaska crew for 30 years.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm,
and I've worked a lot outside as well.
I think there's a really well-reasoned argument that you put forward there, and I'm really happy to have you bring that point of view in here. And you're basically saying that there we could easily get involved. Alaska could easily just find its money going to no avail, right?
Well, I think that the promoters have structured this argument that we're in a competition, and the competition now is about who can come up with bigger and bigger subsidies. I think we just heard Ron say, if we don't pass the bill, they're going to Canada. And the truth of the matter is, you can't simply say that because you have more productions, that means that it's an automatic benefit to the state of Alaska. You know, in this competition, I don't want to repeat everything I said, but obviously in big cities like New York and London and Berlin and Rome, they've been building the industry for over 100 years. 40 states have incentives, Canada, many other countries, Louisiana for 10 years, Canada for over 30, and it hasn't worked there yet. How do we really think we're going to win in this competition? We're talking about $200 million over 10 years. California is putting $100 million a year, Louisiana $100 million a year, New York $420 million a year. I just don't really think it's realistic to think Alaska is going to win a subsidy film tax credit trade war. That's all.
Wow. Yeah. We're kind of dwarfed, you're saying?
Well, not only are we dwarfed,
we already know we're more expensive. And that's maybe a little bit offset by our massive, our scenic resources, which are, certainly fabulous.
Well, that's right. And guess what? Those unique characteristics of Alaska as a location, they're not going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to stay the same, so that movies and television programs that want to take advantage of what Alaska offers, they're still going to be here. Look at California, the undisputed film capital of the world, with, all the infrastructure, abundant talent, technology, numerous film schools, more infrastructure than anywhere in the world. Well, now Hollywood tells us not even California can have a self-sustaining film industry without large subsidies. I mean, even the supporters say this could be indefinite, could go on and on and on. And that's the way it's worked out, in Louisiana and these other places, too. So
I see what you mean. I see what you mean. It's kind of reminding me of sports arenas when you talk about it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
I mean,
the real problem here is that 80% of the wages are going to non-residents.
But I think I'll give Bob Crockett a chance to answer that. I mean, that's not necessarily going to stay that way, right?
No, I mean, the idea behind the incentive program here that we put together, that was put together, is to dial it down at some point. You know, to answer your question or your comment there, I think that there will always be something in here to for us to be able to remain competitive. And Steve, you talked, you touched on it a little bit. Alaska is a little more expensive to get to. Now, you know, as local crew and the workforce develops, you're going to see less people coming up to Alaska. When we start building infrastructure, when we have rolling stock like honey wagons and catering trucks and cube trucks with the proper lift gates and the types of equipment that Hollywood is accustomed to using, and that exists here, you're not going to see that coming up from the lower 48. That will be owned and rented directly from Alaskans.
So in a way, our differential could work in our favor because it's so expensive for these people to move these trucks and whatnot up here that, boy, if they were up here, they'd jump at them.
Absolutely, yeah, they yeah. would. I mean, it doesn't make sense to bring it all up here if it already exists here.
So well, Mark, it seems we're talking. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know, they talk about this infrastructure argument. Like, I heard the testimony that now the plan is we're going to build a sound stage in Alaska, and that's going to improve our competitive advantage. But there's not a shortage of sound stages in the world. You know, in Michigan, they had all sorts of marketing studies that said that Hollywood needed a sound stage in Pontiac, Michigan, promised $5 million in revenue the first year, 3,000 jobs. But reality check, when it opened, no jobs, you know, no revenue. In fact, they even convinced the Michigan State Pension Fund to guarantee this deal. But when they opened up, now they just defaulted on the first $630,000 interest payment, and the Michigan taxpayers are on the hook.
So the thing didn't pencil out, Ron.
Because the Michigan template is a very good example of what's happening here in Alaska because the people in Michigan, the business people, locals got excited about the film industry, started building that absolutely necessary infrastructure, and then the state effectively pulled the plug on it.
Oh, I see.
So then, you know, there's, I mean,
no,
it's...
they pulled the plug on the subsidies.
That's exactly right. Which took the incentive out of even having any ancillary industry.
Well, and I think what we can do from a state and a private, you know, the private sector is to be able to look at other people's mistakes and not make the same mistakes that they made.
Right. Well, it seems...
What about Joseph Henchman? Joseph Henchman from the Tax Foundation testified to the subcommittee, and what he said was, if you really want to develop infrastructure, then do not subsidize individual film productions. Subsidize the infrastructure. If that's what your objective is, fine. Then why don't we grant subsidies to building the sound stages?
I also believe he said this is not the time to cut back on your program.
Yeah, so the full story. That's part of the full story. I don't think that's one person's opinion, but... You know, I don't think Joseph really cares for any kind of a transferable tax credit, no matter what the industry.
Hmm.
One thing I'd like to say I was working in L.A. In the late 70s in the movie industry when Canada reared its pretty head and started offering incredible deals to go shoot there. And, of course, people did. But one thing I'd like to point out is I have worked on motion pictures all over the United States, and I was amazed when I walked on the set as just an actor on the frozen ground to see how many locals were on that set. It dwarfs anything I've ever seen in any other city in the United States. I've never seen that many, as we used to call, townies working on a motion picture.
Let's let Mark get his last word in here from Homer.
Okay, well, it's great that you brought up Canada, you know, because Canada is what is always trotted out as the great example of how it works, but they never tell us what it is about Canada that works so well. In Canada, not less than 75% of the production has to be spent in Canada with Canadians. Hollywood didn't want to go and hire Canadians. Canada said, if you want film tax credit subsidies, you are going to have to. You are required to hire Canadians.
Hmm.
And that's why it works there.
Because they have the crew.
Yeah, that's a good point, Mark. I think, you know, at one point we will get there. We will get to a point where the workforce is developed here, and we'll be able to say And all of us want the same thing. We want an Alaskan story that's all above the line Alaskan, and the entire crew shooting the movie being Alaskan, but it's just going to take some time to get there.
Mark, I really want to thank you for all the work you put into your thinking about this and the research and whatnot. This is great.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and there's an awful lot of information out there on it.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's Talk of Alaska. We're talking about state tax credits for the film industry to continue them, and what does it do for the state, and so forth, as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from the Alaska Budget Report, providing in-depth coverage for state government since 1991, on the web at akbudgetreport.com. The Association of Alaska School Boards promotes one-to-one digital learning for all Alaska students to prepare them for success in the global economy. More information at aasb.org. This message sponsored by the Association of Alaska School Boards.
You can find APRN headlines and more online at alaskapublic.org. Local, national, and international news, upcoming events, and statewide community conversation. alaskapublic.org, connecting you to Alaska one story at a time.
It is Talk of Alaska, and we're talking about the movie business. We got a little bit of a movie business here in Alaska, and the question is, should there be state subsidies to encourage it to get bigger? And everybody on my panel kind of thinks, maybe they need some tweaking, but they want to keep the tax credits going. So is anybody willing to say what's likely to happen if you know, one of the things that's going on is that Subcommittee Chairman Costello said, well, you know, it's not till next year anyway, so if it dies this year, we just pick it up again next year, which Johnny Ellis, Senator Ellis, who's kind of the godfather of the legislation in the first place, said, well, you know, the just like the oil business, the film industry has to plan ahead, and if they don't see that certainty out there, that's going to affect what they're planning right now. So, Bob Crockett, they're most likely to call you. So maybe you could tell me if there's some that are feeling out Alaska right now. I know this is a softball, and you can hit it out of the park. Just go ahead and whack the damn thing.
Okay, all right.
Don't whiff.
Well, no, that's a good point you brought up, though, and I think what people need to realize is this is not unlike any other industry. You have planning that has to take place. You've got producers that need confidence that this program is going to be in place. It takes 2 to 5 years or longer for a film production to really begin shooting. They've got to secure financing. They have to find the locations. They have to and an incentive program is something that's factored into every economic formula. It's just a way of doing business, just like the oil industry, the mining industry, the fishing industry. I mean, every one of them are looking at what creates the best bottom line. And at the same time, they'll look at a location creatively. The two movies that we've looked at so far, and Big Miracle and Frozen Ground, had Alaska storylines, so it makes sense to shoot it here. There's other movies in the pipe that want to come here and shoot Alaska stories. So it's and producers are waiting to see what the outcome of this vote is. On the other end of that spectrum, you've also got Alaskan investors. They want to build infrastructure. They want to invest in equipment. We've got a 21-year-old kid that's worked with us on both those movies, and we just finished shooting a national spot for Carhartt. He's 21. He's got a loan ready to go. He wants to invest $22,000 into video assist equipment, and he's not going to do it until he knows that this program's in place. So those are the kind of kids that we need to really see and create opportunity for, and this does create that opportunity.
Let me ask you this. I know that we have several Alaskans who have moved to Hollywood and work in the back room, special effects and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there the potential for people like that coming back up here or not?
They are.
To leave?
They are coming
Tell
back.
Tell me about it.
For instance, D.K. Johnson is going to be the first AD on the feature film that we're doing up here. Worked in Hollywood, you know, learned about the industry, went to Hollywood, worked down there, and he saw what was happening up here, and he came back. Another case in point, an actor, Katie Wallach, came back up here when we started getting busy with the film industry, and she got her SAG card in Christmas with a capital C, David Cuddy's film. The SAG card, of course, is paramount to your career in Hollywood. Until you have that, nobody thinks you're a professional. You could do 25 years on stage, and you're not a professional until you have that magic card. Well, anyway, Katie came up here, got her card. She wants to live here, so she's back and forth to Los Angeles, but she's in L.A. now, and thank God she is, because she went in after she got her SAG card and read for a little silent motion picture named The Artist and got a role in it, which, of course, won the Academy Award.
Whoa, yeah.
One of our guys from...
You pulled that one out of the holster. Pretty good there, Ron.
Not bad, huh? Hey, that's why I make the medium-sized bucks. Yeah.
Well, I get calls all the time, people, maybe not from here, but just wanting to move up and asking, what's it like? They have a decent resume, and they're sending me stuff all the time, and they're just going through the listing and the Alaska Film Office listing and seeing what the production companies are and saying, hey, I can do this, I can do that. I'm not sure if we're quite there yet where we can sustain a lot of jobs year-round, but that is growing, and it's a piggyback thing. It's an economy of scale. It just, the more equipment and the more projects, then the more people, and then returning on itself, more projects.
Well, you think about Spielberg and Lucas, and actually a whole bunch of them, they all went to the same film school and essentially revolutionized the industry. And it would be nice to think that there was kind of an Alaskan equivalent of that in potential somehow for creating whatever. I mean, they talk about it in music. We're going to make the Alaska sound, you know? We're going to make the Alaska vision.
That's right. We do have a group of new and younger filmmakers in this state that have become a force to be reckoned with. I go to all the screenings that I can, all the film festivals that we have, and these guys and gals are turning out some pretty decent work. So we do have that. We don't have the troika of Coppola, Lucas, and Spielberg yet, but we've got some real up and comers here. It's very exciting.
I have this one from Mark in Juneau. Says, hey, it's hard to believe that if 50% of our North Slope workforce travels back and forth to the lower 48 as non-residents, that most of the workforce in these films won't do the same. The get to the point the workforce is developed here hasn't happened in 40 years on the slope. I don't see it happening for the film industry. That from Mark.
That's the challenge, isn't it? Yes, well, and they are. They
it
are.
Won't happen if we don't have the subsidy. I mean, that we can't just kill the subsidy because we don't know if it's going to happen or not. And, I've been doing this for,
yeah, go ahead.
For many years, and, there's plenty of work. There's plenty of jobs. It may not be in for big budget films, but when you talk about the film industry, let's realize we're talking about a huge spectrum of budget size and outcomes. Mm-hmm. There's broadcast, there's non-broadcast, there's a lot of work there. The economy is good right now in Alaska, and there is work. So if we're just going to measure it on one or two films as to the health of the industry, then we're gonna lose that argument.
That's absolutely right. And if I can touch on that a little bit, if you look at every successful jurisdiction around the world, you'll see that they all started this way. And when their program kicked in, for example, with Louisiana, who's an oil-producing state, depends on fishery and tourism like we do. They started their incentive program in 2002 with one film. Last year, they had 129 projects and $1.1 billion worth of business and 5,000 jobs. So it does take time. But once this program is allowed to take off, which is what we need to see in this next extension, you will see growth in jobs, benefit to the state's economy, projects, infrastructure, all of that will come into play.
I'm really thinking that the workforce is extremely different. I mean, I'm having a hard time drawing a comparison between a sloper lives in the lower 48 and comes up and goes back and forth for family or whatever, and somebody in a creative profession that I just picture those people really wanting to live in Alaska if they possibly could.
Yeah. I mean, if you have a choice of living in Los Angeles or living in Alaska, you'll see the vast majority of those people certainly willing to live in a pristine environment.
Well, I had that choice.
I mean, you did. But I mean, you're a special case, Ron.
Oh, God.
In more ways than...
special Ron.
You know what, Steve, another criticism that I've heard a lot early on when we were first considering the bill when it first got to the House earlier this year was a transparency issue and whether the game was fair and whether people had adequate access to the producers if they wanted to get a job, maybe not understanding which films are union films, which are non-union films, and all that.
Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is Bob here could be kind of a power broker. I mean, he's not striking me as that way, but he just may have a benign exterior.
Oh my God!
Yeah. Well,
one of the things,
one of the things I just wanted to get the conversation going on that was the idea of a film board or film commission. I think that the Alaska Film Office is small, and I think it's being asked to do too much at this point. Managing the brokering system and running the crew lists and stuff, running their website, which lists the companies, and keeping that up to date because that's always changing, always constantly flowing. And also looking at the films with their committee and deciding which ones qualify, and there's a lot of subtleties, as we just already discussed. What is reality TV? What is non-scripted TV versus scripted? What if I shoot a documentary that is completely unscripted? Which a lot of the one I was talking about earlier is probably going to be. So how do you judge that? So anyway, I proposed or just got the idea out of maybe a film board with industry representatives, a CPA person, and someone from the state, from the film office itself. And this film board is responsible for oversight of the entire program. And obviously, if someone on the board would have to recuse themselves if they had a film like myself that was going to be trying to qualify.
Yeah, I mean, I as far as the film group goes, I would have no opposition to that. I can tell you that I've been in the industry for 30 years. I've seen a lot of people come and go with economic development, commerce, the film office, and so forth. And we are in the best shape we've ever been right now with what we see in the film office. Is there room for improvement? Of course. I mean, there's always room for improvement. But I feel that we are in the best shape we've ever been. I know that the people that are in that program over there are working their tails off this thing work, and they are good.
Absolutely.
Is it necessary to have a film board to qualify a project or something? I don't think that is an issue on our part.
It's not in this consideration, really. It's not part of the. It's not a proposed part of the bill.
No,
I'm just throwing it out there.
It's
something that we can work. You know, part of the.
Well, I mean,
infrastructure
it
building.
It appears to me
that
basically we're in the honeymoon period right now.
Hopefully.
We haven't got to the 2-year itch, let alone the 7-year itch, and you know, so maybe between now and the next sunset, that's when they start actually talking about the substance of it, because we really didn't.
That's right.
In the whole last period.
That's
right. Now we're going to do it all in a period of a few days?
Right.
I don't think so.
Well, you know, 10 years from now, you know, once we can get this thing continued, 10 years from now, we'll be in a completely different ballpark. One thing I want to point out, and I want to address this, it digresses a little bit, but the talk about, building the infrastructure here won't have any effect on the industry. Well, we have something unique here. For someone to bring, as Bob said, the honey wagon, which is portable dressing rooms, or makeup trailers, wardrobe trailers.
Funny, I didn't know that.
Thank you.
They have to drive those things
that
to Alaska.
That means something different.
But the thing is, if we have them here, they're attractive. See, it wouldn't matter if somebody's got them in Michigan, because you can drive a portable dressing room unit from Los Angeles to Michigan.
Right.
But to drive it up here, you've got a Teamster, you've got, you know, overnights. I mean, it's incredibly expensive. So these ancillary things in our business up here really support us.
I'm just seeing this incredible Chad Carpenter cartoon.
Your honey wagon is here.
Chad, are you listening?
Okay, let's go to William. Joins the program from Anchorage. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, William.
Ah, Steve, I think it's incredible we're having this discussion in the context of proposed tax relief for the oil industry. I think that if you're going to encourage an emergent industry, you have to provide some kinds of incentives to get it started. I know my daughter, for instance, isn't out migration. She has a degree in theater and film, and she's a member of SAG, but she's living in Los Angeles. If we want to have these kids have an opportunity in Alaska, we have to provide some kind of incentive now. I think also if you just take a look outside today, this place is gorgeous. If we encourage people to film here, they'll see that Alaska is beautiful outside, and we'll have more in-migration from tourism and ancillary activity. I think it's just, you know, really remarkable that sometimes politicians in this state talk about incentivizing industry and new business and commerce, and when they actually have the chance to do it, they sort of are reluctant to seize the opportunity. I think if you want to encourage that, the public that's listening today can contact on any computer the public, the Legislative Information Office, and send a public information notice saying you encourage this program.
So it'd probably go to Mia Costello would be the best place to send that, I would think.
Well, that's correct. I've sent one to Mia. Mm-hmm. I've sent one to Anna Fairclough. I think the people that speak of encouraging business in the state need to hear from us that want to encourage business. Also, I'm a member of the Teamsters, which was just mentioned. At the international level, the Teamsters have an entire division devoted to the movie industry. We can have people working today who are certified here now if they just have the opportunity to do it.
Thanks, William, but don't you think it would bring more liberals?
Well, I don't think that it's recognized entirely that Ronald Reagan, for instance, was particularly liberal. I think across the political spectrum, we're all interested in development. We're all interested in business opportunity. We're all interested in new and innovative kinds of activity. We want to diversify our economy. This is a real chance to do real work that would diversify economies, allow people to work here that are trained and available, and encourage our kids to have a career here rather than to move to Los Angeles.
Thanks, Bill. And it occurs to me now that I think about it, John Voight did come up here. So
yeah, that communist.
Yeah. It's Talk of Alaska. And thank you very much for your call, William. I'm going to go to other callers now as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from
the Pebble Partnership, developing a comprehensive mine plan that meets Alaska's regulatory requirements while supporting sustainable fisheries in Southwest Alaska. PebblePartnership.com. ConocoPhillips. The easy oil is gone, and getting to the remaining oil will be a challenge that will require the state and the industry to work together. ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company.
And by
Providence Imaging Center, helping cancer patients stay in Anchorage with a PET scanner that fuses anatomical and functional images since 2004. Learn more at provimaging.com.
It's Talk of Alaska, and once again, this could become a chronic theme. I mean, I'm thinking people like to talk about this, and we can always just keep coming back to it. Let's go to Maya in Fairbanks. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Maya, and glad you called.
Thank you very much. Hello, gentlemen. Thanks for bringing up this important issue. Yeah, I'm a faculty member here at UAF, and we have a brand new film degree program that we're very proud of having. It's the first in the state to have a film major, our first branch of the UA campuses to have a film major. And, you know, when we presented this idea to the Board of Regents about 4 years ago, They were lukewarm about the idea, but seeing what had happened with the tax incentive program and all the productions coming up, they realized that there were opportunities for Alaskans in this industry. And that really helped them understand the potential that we have. We know, like William had said before, that we have a huge number of very talented young people that leave the state every year because we do not serve this industry specifically. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to look around and see every kid has a smartphone, an iPad, some sort of, you know, Nintendo device in their pocket. They are interested in multimedia. And when we just look at what the demographics are of this generation and what they want to pursue and where their job opportunities are going to be, this is an industry that's going to continue to grow. It's not going away. We're doing a disservice. We have been doing a disservice by not training, providing for, and educating our own Alaskans about how to participate in this industry.
You are such a believer, Maya. You make a believer out of me just listening to you.
You know, but they've been leaving. The brain drain is huge. And I've seen it over the years here. I've been associated with the theater department at UAF for over 10 years. And we would see the best and the brightest and the most talented that were interested in not just stage but also film forced to leave in some ways because there just weren't the opportunities here for them. But we are starting to see the reverse, which is really exciting. We have people that are coming back to Alaska that have been outside, and they are staying because they have work. And that is something that is just beginning to happen, and we're going to see a huge shift in that area, I'm sure, if this tax incentive continues forward.
Ron Holzer?
Yeah, I want to commend Maya for her heroic effort to get that film program into Fairbanks. I was honored to be asked to testify before the Regents when they were considering it. And too true. When I taught for ATY when they were still at UAF several years ago, I taught acting for the camera. And it was very sad. At the end of the session, we showed the little films we'd made of their work. And the question was, okay, well, we've learned how to turn stage acting into film acting. What do we do? And sadly, I said, get the hell out of here.
Hmm.
Exactly.
I don't tell them that anymore. Well, we'll see what happens this week, but I'm not telling them that now, presently.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the thing, Ron, I think that's so, it's really accurate. We basically had to turn to our best and just say, you know, you should leave. And what we see right now, and we predicted that we'd have 12 majors by the end of our first year, and then, you know, every year we'd gain two majors. Well, I'm gaining two majors a week sometimes.
Wow.
Right? The fascination, the interest, the desire, and these guys are working hard, guys and gals, they're working hard. I have students going to Africa this summer for working on feature documentary film
wow.
shoots. I have students that are doing internships at LucasArts and then coming back.
Wow.
Right?
Well, but let me ask you this, Maya. Has anybody gone viral on YouTube yet?
I haven't been filming a lot of hamsters burping their ABCs yet.
Yeah. feeding moose.
Very funny. Hey, Maya, this is Bob. Great job you're doing up there. And I just want to echo the fact that you have, I think, 40 students enrolled in your program, and you want to be able to have an industry here for them to be able to work in once they graduate. And that's something that we've been telling all of our legislators, and it is about training Alaskan workforce and having sustainable Alaskan jobs.
Well, and it is a time, and this is Jeff, and congratulations on getting that program going.
Thank you all.
It is a great time for it to be growing because we have this global movement. We have communication, we have media going all over the place. It's been extremely decentralized. And the fact that the film incentive program is successful and we have films has something to do with the decentralization of these old-time industries. And why not stay up here? Why not support a new business industry instead of just going off and building roads every time? You know, let's just stop building roads and let's build content. Content is king. And the more we own our own content, the better. So,
you know,
and this will get us there.
And Jeff, you brought up really one good point that this is a global business, and it really is. We have to be able to compete globally. It's no longer competing against Canada or Montana or Louisiana. We have to compete against New Zealand. We have to compete against Europe. It is a global business, and right now we have an incentive program that's aggressive enough to attract business from around the world, and that's what we're doing.
Right. Maya?
Well, I agree with all of those points. I mean, I just think we're at a really exciting crossroads, and I feel that the state has made the great first step as moving forward with this incentive program for the last 4 years. We didn't get off the ground right away. So it's only really been 4 years that we've been up and running with it. And moving forward with it for the next 10 will just show us how far we can go, Why cut us off when we just started going, you know? And this idea that we need to support these new industries, the training is an issue. We're continuing to work on that. The state's continuing to work on that. We can't, you know, one of the things I had said to the legislature is, you can't simulate a $16 million film unless you're shooting a $16 million film.
Whoa.
You know, so no training company, no training school in the world can sort of satisfy the demand of what you're going to learn on a real big set. And unless those sets are here, again, we have to send our students out to go find them.
All right, Maya from Fairbanks, thank you very much. Let's go to George. Joins the program from Homer. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, George.
Hey, Steve, it's George from Palmer, Alaska.
Hi, George from Palmer.
Hey, I'm over at Glenn Studios. If you want to see the website, it's alaskasoundstage.com.
Oh, I'm glad you called.
Got the plug, yeah.
Yeah.
Shameless.
Yeah, sorry. But, you know, the one thing that we've done is we took an empty building in Palmer, that's 60,000 square feet on 10 acres of property, and we've proposed it as a studio, as a soundstage, as a studio warehouse. And we've had a lot of visitors. We've had a lot of people take a look at it and critique the goods and the bads, and you know, the one thing is that we support the growth of the film industry with or without the tax credit, and we'll continue to do that. We don't have the political connections. We don't have the lobbying ability, but we do have a voice, and what we voiced is that we do support the growth of the film industry, regardless if it's with or without the tax credit.
George, my hat's totally off to you. Bob, is this a usable facility out there in Palmer?
You know, George, how you doing? I haven't been out there. I've talked to people that have been, and yes, it is.
All right.
It's people like George that you know, that are going to step up and provide some services here when these productions come into town. You know, not all of them will be going out to Palmer. Not all of them will be going into Anchorage. I mean, it's a statewide business. And as I said on Big Miracle, there were 1,200 Alaskans in front of the camera from Shivak to Ketchikan to Sitka to Barrow to Fairbanks. I mean, they were from all over the state.
I got to say one thing. John Pagayak steals that movie.
Absolutely. I can't tell you how many emails I got from LA saying it's about time there was some truth to some of these stories, and the Native community really stole the show.
I got to sit in on some editing sessions with the editor, Kara Silverman.
Uh-huh.
I'm not related.
But
she called me bro, and I called her sis. So it's cool. And she said, even watching those early returns, those rushes, she said, he's our darling. He's taken this film. And she was right.
Well, look at Amal Sweeney. I mean, he's a 12, 11-year-old kid that just
scene stealer.
Came out of nowhere.
Right. I want to thank you all for being with us.
Thanks, Steve.
Hey, thank you.
Great to be here. We'll see all this comes out, and we'll do it all again sometime, I hope.
Very good.
Worth the incentive.
All right. Thank you very much. Next week, something completely different. The Great Alaska Newspaper War with Howard Weaver. Thanks so much to Dave Waldron at the controls, Josh Edge on the phones. I'm Steve Heimel.
Talk of Alaska is made possible by this member station of the Alaska Public Radio Network, by First National Bank Alaska, offering business solutions to help Alaska's dreams grow for 90 years. On the web at fnbalaska.com, an equal housing lender, member FDIC. And by BP, supporting public broadcasting in Alaska. Home, it's where you lay your head, eat home-cooked meals, and gather with friends. Home is where you grew up and learned about life. Alaska is home, and when you choose to violate someone by committing sexual assault, you harm them, and you harm yourself, your friends, your family, your home, and Alaska. No one deserves to be sexually assaulted, so make the right choice. Real Alaskans choose respect. This message brought to you by the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. This program is a production of APRN, which is solely responsible for its content. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. CD copies are available by calling 550-8400.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.